we always wonder what kind of Saturday it's going to be. And this past weekend, we asked what kind of Sunday is it going to be with protests in the city. Can you get from point A to B? They have been, they haven't stopped. Sometimes there's outspoken reaction. There obviously was when there were more arrests than usual 2 weeks ago. But if you ask a Jewish person in the city, they've been living in fear. They have absolutely been that. And I have seen things, and things are being done and not being talked about, and leaders aren't leading that would not be okay, for lack of a better term, with any other religious group, with any other culture. And we know it. It's right in front of our faces. And that's not to say you can't criticize what Israel's doing. That's, I was talking with a friend last night who was Jewish. I hadn't seen him in ages. And he was just railing, we got to get Benjamin Netanyahu out of here. He's wrecking everything. And I'm like, that's a reasonable opinion. That's an opinion that can be discussed. But that's not about what we're seeing. If you think what's happening on our streets right now is about ceasefires or balance or a two-state solution, I'm going to take issue with it. I have been, I will stand by that. Dahlia Kurtz is a broadcaster and writer, and she had a great op-ed in the National Post. And she said, I'm going to carry on the fight that my father had. She also is the grandchild of people that were certainly impacted by the Holocaust in a very dreadful way as well. And Dahlia joins us right now on 640 Toronto. I know you hate getting up early in the morning, but it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for doing this for me.
I've always had the morning show, and I've always said there's one show that I don't want to do, it's mornings, and I always got the morning show.
It hurts your brain, and the listeners get to hear my brain hurting, especially by Friday morning, on a regular basis. I don't know how they do it. People say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how they listen to me.
No, Greg, we make people feel better about themselves. That's all. Because they know that they're cozy and their brain is together. But, you know, you're talking about traffic and the issues that people have with, you know, these protests. You know, last Saturday, I physically stood in the center of this massive crowd on University. And of course, I'm the only Jew that I can see, because all I see are these Palestinian flags. And I'm like this little thing. I'm 5 feet tall and petite. I get up on this platform of sorts, so I'm able to record everything that is going on around me. And I physically stood in the center of this massive crowd of thugs calling on this holiday, Al-Quds Day, a day to celebrate the slaughter of Jews. And I stood atop this platform. I capture what they're saying. And they're talking about the annihilation of Israel. And they're talking about death to Jews. And a person dressed as a grim reaper walks by me with a sign that says death to Jews. An 8-year-old little boy is standing next to me, sort of like playing and hanging off a pole, but still chanting these chants at the exact same time. And you think, I would be scared because I'm, you know, this person who is small by myself, I'm Jewish, I'm standing there, I'm filming. I'm not standing there saying, hey, everybody, I'm Dahlia. I'm not standing there dressed up just in a way that I stand out with a mug and David on me. But by the time I finished filming, I think a few people started to catch on to who I was. And I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared because I needed to document this. I needed to be there. And I just did it. And I am so committed to this. And commitment comes with purpose. And I'll tell you, purpose gives you power.
Dahlia, did you sense, if I'd said to you on October 8th, how do you think this is going to go? What's been expected for you and what's been surprising?
You know, when I've spoken with Holocaust survivors throughout the years, they've all told me that another one is coming. And I've felt it, I think, more than typical Canadians because of my father's case and what he had been through. Because I felt those fault lines of anti-Semitism, of Jew hate, because I prefer not to say anti-Semitism because it doesn't really define the word, actually. I'm getting myself out of that. Anti-Semitism is a misnomer. It's Jew hate. It's Judeophobia. And I felt those fault lines erupt. They were growing over the years, and they erupted on the 7th. And I saw, as soon as this happened, I saw all of it coming. And I'll tell you, I have one friend left from October 7th. I have one friend left from October 7th. And
what's that mean? You've had people that you just can't align with anymore because there's just too much of a gap with not understanding what this is.
No, they just don't call me. They just don't text me. I'm outspoken, Greg. I'm outspoken because I say don't kill the Jews. I shouldn't say that. This is what it's come to. The same blacklisting that my father faced, I've also faced now, especially since October 7th. And the thing is, I will not back down. I am proving to myself, people will tell me that I'm brave or this or that. And I don't think I'm brave. I think that when you're brave, you're doing something that you're afraid to do and you're doing it anyway. I'm more afraid not to speak out. I'm being Jewish. And I think that this is telling me, from all the stories I heard from my grandparents who survived the Holocaust, from other people I've talked to who have survived the Holocaust, from wondering all these years, what would I be like if anything like that ever happened? I'm proving to myself that I'm the person that I've always told myself that I am. And I won't back down. And I know if Israel wants more, I couldn't back down either, because we have a Jew hate problem more than these other problems right now.
I appreciate you saying that. One more question for you. I've got Jewish friends who have not always agreed with my political perspective, but I think what they've thought is it's on a respectful, it's on the playing field that would be considered out of respect. Let me tell you what I think about what Israel is getting wrong. And it comes from a place of politics and not anti-Semitism, or as you describe it, Jew hate. What I'm seeing on our streets right now is what I laid out in the beginning. This isn't about holding Israel to account, and this isn't about politics, and this isn't about sorting out this war. And it is a war. It is not a genocide. I'm getting more angry about the description of it. And when I say to people, describe for me what a genocide is, they've got it all completely wrong. So it's this trigger word. When I lay all that out there, what is fair criticism of what Israel's done for the last 7 months to you? What's fair to say, God, I wish they'd done it this way instead of that way?
Well, it's fair to say that October 7th was a genocide against the Jews. That's perfectly fair to say. You know, to criticize Israel right now, I've always had criticisms of Israel, but if you go into the country and you talk to the people who live there, for the most part, you know, there are anomalies, but for the most part, this is just a time when even prime ministers, you know, Benny Gantz and Netanyahu, Naftali Bennett, you know, people who haven't always agreed on the things they said, right now they are supporting themselves. Because right now, I don't see the point. There's nothing that comes out of it to say, you know, what should Israel be doing now? It's an entirely different conversation, and that's for the people on the war field. The conversation to criticize things that Israel has done, you know, that's fine. If you're criticizing things that they've done that haven't been announced by a terror group that makes up numbers. So
yeah.
it's a conversation that if people were to be more educated, and we talk about learning the Holocaust in school, I think we have to learn about Jew hate in school, about Judeophobia, about the country of Israel, about what its real origins were, about the thousands of years that it has been here. And we have to understand the difference between history and twistery, the difference between math and Hamas. These are the things that we need to understand better.
Dalia, I got to leave it there, but let's have another conversation in the days to come. And I appreciate your voice on this. Thank you very much. And I thought it was a great op-ed. I've shared it with so many people. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. It's at DaliaKurtz.com as well, if you want to see it. Thanks so much, Greg.
You got it. We'll talk soon. Dalia Kurtz.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.